Welcome to the Mothering Through Childhood Cancer podcast, where we explore mindset strategies to help you navigate your child's cancer journey with confidence. My name is Samara Potter. I'm a pediatric oncologist, certified life coach, and your host. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to the third episode in our three-part series about scanxiety. I am very excited to talk to you about scanxiety today, but first I wanted to ask, how are you? How are things going with you and your family? I just heard that we're going to have another 6 weeks of winter, and honestly, I'm over it. I want my South Texas winters back now that I'm here in Ohio. And I'll be honest, one of the reasons that I have enjoyed living in Texas and not experiencing cold winters in the past has been that I have previously had seasonal affective disorder during winters that I've spent in the Northeast. But that was before I learned about light therapy and how helpful it can be during these blah, gray winter days that we have up here. So if you don't know, if you haven't heard about light therapy for seasonal affective disorder, you can Google it. But basically, you can buy a special type of lamp that emits light at a certain wavelength, and you sit by this lamp for 30 to 60 minutes in the morning and every morning, and it can help you with improved mood if you have seasonal affective disorder. And I love it because it's a super simple, practical thing I can do that helps me. And I just have my little lamp, and while I'm doing some work in the morning, I just turn it on and happen to have it there, and I don't think about it. I set it on a timer, and it helps my whole day. And this is exactly what I want to focus on for you all today when we are discussing scanxiety, is these sort of super simple practical things that you can do in the moment to help yourself through. For those of you who haven't yet listened to parts one and two of our scanxiety protocol series, so first, let me say welcome. And second, that I do recommend that you go back and do that, because those two episodes really give you the background and foundation for what we are going to talk about today. And so if you recall, in part one of our scanxiety protocol, we talked about our past and how the stories we tell ourselves inform our current thoughts. And then in part two, we discussed the future and the importance of identifying the emotions that we are hoping to feel and hoping not to feel, and then finding phrases that we can use as mantras to help remind ourselves of our own resilience. So things like, I've already made it through 100% of my bad days, or I already have everything that I need to get through this. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the present. So meaning what you can do when you are in the middle of scanxiety. And to me, when I'm feeling really anxious and overwhelmed, it's almost like I'm in the center of a whirlpool that's starting to spin around me and suck me into the spinning motion. Feels to me like my thoughts are spinning around and around. And I'm kind of going around in a circular manner where I can't quite get out of it. And I'm not really moving forward at all. I'm just moving around and around and around. So what I want to do is to talk to you about how to stop that spinning feeling. So spinning in scanxiety or anxiety, so that you can do something that I call getting back to neutral. Now, there are a lot of ways that people do this already, probably subconsciously, that you may be employing. So for example, you could start listening to music, or get up and dance, or have some sort of physical movement. Some people like to run, whatever activity you like to do. Other people like to go out into nature and take a walk, those sorts of things. But I wanted to give you a couple of very simple, practical things that you can do really wherever you are that don't require you to change your environment, and that you can teach to your kids if you see that they are having trouble with anxiety, kind of as a way to just stop and reset, get them back to neutral. Oh, and one more thing. I'm going to be describing some physical actions on this podcast, and I think that you should be able to get the idea of what I'm doing. But if you would like to see visually the physical movements that I'm doing, I'm going to be posting in our Facebook group, Mothering Through Childhood Cancer, same name as the podcast. I'll post there a video of the physical movement so you can actually see what I'm talking about. So the first method that I use, and this is the one that I like to use most frequently, is one where you take an object, and it can be any sort of object that is small enough to hold in one hand. So I use my cell phone because it happens to be around a lot and available to me, and it's something that fits in the palm of my hand. But what I do is I'll start with the phone in my left hand and I'll bend my elbow about 90 degrees and kind of swing my arm out to the side and then pass the phone towards the middle to my other hand, which takes the phone and kind of swings out to the right. So now I've got my right hand swinging out to the side and then passes it back to my left hand. So my phone is crossing back and forth in front of me and being passed from hand to hand in a rhythmic manner. And what this does is it's a way of using both sides of your body, crossing midline with an object, which forces you to engage both sides of your brain. And when you are engaging both sides of your brain and moving from one side of the brain to the other as you pass back and forth across midline, it makes it difficult to continue to ruminate or spin in anxiety about whatever it was that you were thinking about before. So it's when I'm getting really stressed out, that's one of the things that I do is I just take a pen, take my cell phone, just pass it back and forth. And the nice thing is it's relatively unobtrusive. It's not something where people will necessarily notice, hey, she's doing this weird thing or anything like that. And it is something that can be done anywhere. So that is the first getting back to neutral method. Oh, and I should mention that these methods are ones that I learned from Simone Soul and Melissa Tears in a workshop that they gave, which was entitled How to Change Any Habit. So if you are fans of theirs or you're interested in their work, I highly recommend them. They are amazing. And they go into some detail about these as well as others if you have access to that. So the second method I use for getting back to neutral is when I am spinning, I actually try to think of the thoughts in my brain and almost like my brain has, I don't know, neon colored lights in it. And those are the thoughts and that they are moving around. And what I find is that they're kind of moving in some sort of a directionality. And so if you were to take the thoughts or the kind of the feeling that you have of spinning and how does that feel? And you're going to take your hands and put them in front of you and just show me visually what it would look like for those thoughts to spin, whatever direction it is, if it's kind of forward, if it's clockwise, if it's on a diagonal, however you would actually show someone that those thoughts are spinning for you. And now, when you have got that down and you can show how those thoughts are spinning, I want you to take your hands and actually try to reverse it. And it's very funny. It becomes difficult while reversing and trying to do it backwards to be able to focus on the same thoughts and kind of spinning feeling the way that you were in it while you're feeling anxiety. So that is another really fun thing that I like to do that is very simple and just you can do it anywhere. Just try to think about what direction are your thoughts spinning in and can you reverse it? The third method I use to get back to neutral is actually one where I pick a spot on the wall to focus on and I focus my attention on it. You can pick any spot. It doesn't matter. It can be a wall. It can be if you're looking out a window somewhere out far in front of you. And then to try to focus on your peripheral vision and stop focusing on your central vision, but trying to focus on what is it that I can see and expanding access to your peripheral vision. So try to see how much you can visualize without looking directly at anything, but just using the side vision that you have. And that also is a way of pulling yourself out of that vortex, that whirlpool full of thoughts and spinning that you are having, and getting you to stop. So the other part to this is knowing that any of these methods are only going to stop this whirlpool temporarily. Okay. There's not any solution in which you're never going to have skin anxiety or you're never going to feel anxious or overwhelmed, at least not that I know of. But the goal here is to train yourself to be able to break out of it and to be able to do that more and more easily. So it's almost like you're going to be continually pulling yourself out of the whirlpool. And the more times you practice pulling yourself out of the whirlpool, the easier it's going to get. And the more time you're going to get to stand next to the whirlpool watching it, but not necessarily being in it. So the other key part about this is to follow up this getting back to neutral with something else. So something else that you want to replace that sort of spinning, anxious, overwhelmed feeling. And what I like to do is to insert the mantra that you have picked from the past podcast episode here. So pick whatever it is that answers a question for you. What can I tell myself that will reassure me that I am resilient and can handle any emotion? And whatever that is, after you've gotten back to neutral, I want you to intentionally focus on that mantra. And that will help to break this cycle, this habit that you formed, right, of being in skin anxiety. And it's not something that is a habit in terms of it's an intentional thing. It's also not something that will go away all at once, like I've mentioned. Just because you learn these techniques doesn't mean that you suddenly can apply them flawlessly every time and you no longer have any difficulties with these things. And I'm laughing because it's a very common way that perfectionists like myself use coaching against ourselves is this thought, well, okay, well, so now I know how to do it differently. So how come I'm not doing it differently every time there's something wrong with me? And so if you're thinking about that, just stop and remind yourself with compassion and curiosity that you are a human with a human brain, and your human brain has a certain way of thinking, and you are learning to and practicing how to think differently. And that will take time because you've been doing things the same way for many years. So practice these techniques. Let me know how it goes. I want to hear which one's your favorite, or do you have a different technique that you use that always works for you when you're trying to stop feeling anxiety about scans? So let me know what you think. And if you want any feedback on your Scanxiety protocol, or you have any questions, again, join the Facebook group, Mothering Through Childhood Cancer. And you can also find me at my website, www.motheringthrough.com, or on Instagram at Kids Cancer Coach. Okay, take care. Hey, if you've enjoyed this podcast and want to learn more, check out my website at www.motheringthrough.com. It's the best place to go to find more resources on mindset coaching for moms of kids with cancer. It's also where you can sign up for a free discovery call with me, where we chat, no pressure, about whether coaching is right for you. See you there.